We hope this explanation of God's Word enriches your life. To help you understand the audience for this talk, we suggest you read the context material on the About Us page. Please read also our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material from philipjensen.com.
Any visitor to our city and to our cathedral at this time, and especially at Christmas time. As usual, the Sunday school and creche operate. If you have small children, then at the back door and down the stairs, you'll find the creche and Sunday school operating. If you have babies, there's a crying room on that side with closed circuit television so that you can still participate with us. As you came in, you should have received a green sheet. And inside the green sheet, there is a quick Christmas quiz. In the pews, you will also find Bibles and the contact cards in our black folder. Inside those, you'll also see pencils if you're short of a pencil for our church, but they're here as well. We're going to start for a few moments doing some pew work. That is, talking to the people around about you and working out with them the answers to the quiz. In a moment or two, I'll get the answers from you, but do it with a pew, and while you're doing it in your pew, make sure everybody has one of the contact cards from the folder and make sure everybody has a Bible. So if you just take a moment, you might have to say hello to the people in the pew. That'd be a nice thing to do, especially if you drove to church with them without saying anything. Just quickly go through the quiz. Go through the 11 points on the quiz together.
Thank you.
only the organ, but you also are in great voice. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to sing your praises and rejoice with each other about your Son's birth. Be with us now as we pray and as we sing and as we fellowship with one another around your word, that our hearts might be lifted and encouraged as we think again of your wondrous salvation. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated, please? Well, how'd you get on with a quick quiz? Are you ready? Here are the questions and here are the answers. Just checking out to see where you're going. What does Emmanuel mean? Who would like to tell us, please? God with us. Excellent. Which Old Testament prophet prophesied about the virgin bearing a child whose name would be Emmanuel? Up behind us. Isaiah. Well done. The choir's doing well on their Bible reading as well. Isaiah tells us that. In O come all ye faithful, Jesus is called the King of what? Angels. Well done. I wasn't going to ask the choir a hymn one. That's, you get the Bible ones. They get the hymn ones. Which other famous king was born in Bethlehem? David. Why were Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem when Jesus was born? The census that the Romans insisted on. There's other reasons for that too. It's because the Old Testament prophesied it would happen there. But did anyone get that answer? I'm glad. One or two. Good, thank you. What did Joseph... Of course, the answer is God did it every time, so that's not really much of an answer, is it? What did Joseph resolve to do when he heard his betrothed Mary was pregnant? To divorce her, yes. Betrothal meant more than just engagement. It involved a divorce, and he was being kind in divorcing her because he could have had her stoned. What was Joseph doing when the angel first appeared to him? Over here. Someone on the side, over here. Yes? No one on that side? Sleeping, yes. The choir knows about that one. Sleeping indeed, or you could say dreaming. What did the angel command Joseph to do? Do nothing. Take her as his wife, of course, yes. Why was Joseph to name his son Jesus? Why was Joseph to name his son Jesus, please? Yes. Yes, Matthew 1:21, first sermon that every preacher ever learns to preach. You shall call him Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. 3 points, it's a brilliant one. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. Actually, his name wasn't Jesus. He was a Jewish boy. His name was Joshua. Jesus is the Greek version. It's a funny thing, isn't it? The man lived 30 years, died, rose again, always known as Joshua, and since then we've called him Jesus. But that's the way it is. What was the first name of the man who wrote the music for Hark the Herald? Felix. Right up the back, I could see. Felix was what you were going to say, Donald, wasn't it? So you can yell out the next one. Who wrote the words for Hark the Herald Angel Sings? Charles Wesley. Okay, hands up those who got more than 9 correct. More than 10. Hands up the pew that got all right. Yep. Do you believe choir boys? Mr. Cobb doesn't, but I do, fellas. I trust you. Okay, just a little reminder of the Christmas events, aren't they? Now, Ross is going to bring us a Yorkshire carol. He doesn't himself come from Yorkshire, but this is a Yorkshire carol about the birth of Jesus told from Joseph's point of view. Wonderful, moving from that Yorkshire accent into Latin. Now we're going to have the first of our Bible readings from Isaiah chapter 52, page 741 in those Bibles. Should have passed them out early, but pass them out now. You need the Bibles with you, page 741. We've got three readings, so get your Bibles out now. Isaiah chapter 52, and Claire's going to read to us the first 10 verses of that part of the Bible. Thank you, Claire.
Starting at verse 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them there for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declare the Lord, and continually, all the day, my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know it is I who speak. Here am I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What a great passage. It's a real wake-up call. That's where it starts, isn't it? Awake, awake. All preachers like that bit. It's a wake-up call that the nation should rouse itself. Shake off the dust. Arise. It has two views of history. Both are true. They seem contradictory. Firstly is the view of nothing. That is, these people are nothing. Three times the word occurs, you are nothing. You see it there in verse 3. You oppress them, for you are sold for nothing. At the end of verse 4, the Assyrians oppress them for nothing. And again, the end of verse 5, you were taken away for nothing. These people were treated as if they were nothing. They were defiled in verse 1, enslaved in verse 2, sold, oppressed, despised. One of the ways of seeing yourself, the Jews in Babylon, was that they were nothing. But there's another way of viewing the history. That is, these people were God's people. And so three times you find God saying, they are my people that you have referred to there. In the very same verses. Verse 4, the Lord God said, my people. That's what he calls them, as he does down in verse 6, as he does again in verse 5. These people whom the world calls nothing, God calls my people. Both things can be true at the same time. You can see that within yourselves, within this world, you are but nothing. But if you are God's person, you are something indeed. And so the great news comes, the good news comes, the call to wake up. For the great news is coming, the great news of peace and happiness, the great news of salvation, the great news that your God reigns. The ultimate word upon Israel will not be nothing, but God's people. That's the real word, because the Lord is returning. They were oppressed by the Assyrians. They were oppressed by the Egyptians. They were oppressed by the Babylonians. Three times they were slaves and nothing. But God reigns. And he, you will see, is returning to Zion. And when he returns to Zion, all the world will see his salvation. And that is the background to him coming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When down 2,000 years later, all the world stops to sing his praises. Well, let's sing the salvation that God has won for us and all the world can now see. This is not a well-known carol. It comes from the pen of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a keen musician and he reformed the nature of hymn singing as he reformed the church. And this is his Christmas carol, Saviour of the Nations Come. I'm sure we've got it to a piece of music that we know and you'll enjoy standing and singing, but read words carefully because they're great words about our Saviour.
The second reading comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, and may be found on page 1068 of the Church Bible. 1068. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Two great truths. Firstly, the Word was God. See it there in verse 1-2. Not part of God, not partly God, not one amongst many gods, but God. The creator of all that exists. See verse 3. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was outside of creation because he was God. The one true creator God. Second truth, verse 14. He became flesh. Not appeared to be human. He was human. He became flesh and blood and bones. Fully human, not partly human, completely human. Part and parcel of our physical existence that he himself created, he became. The virgin birth is not central to Christianity and to Christmas. The incarnation is central. The virgin birth is denied by most Jews, but it's believed in by Muslims. They believe in the virgin birth, but they do not believe that God became man. They believe that God created a new Adam in the womb of a virgin. John 1 is saying something much, much bigger than that. It's not that a man was created like Adam had been created, without parents. You can always find Adam when you see him in heaven. He's the man that hasn't got a navel. He's born without parents, you see. No mother. If God could do that, God could create a man in a virgin's womb, of course. No, there's something more that is being said here. The Word that was God has become flesh and dwelt amongst us. Well, let's sing of our God become man. Lovely 20th century carol, Lord, you are rich beyond all splendour. It's thinking on 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, if you know that verse. But notice verse 2 of the carol when we come to it. You are our God beyond all praising, yet for love's sake became a man. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Let's stand and sing again.
The next reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 13, and that's found on page 1203. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The sceptre of uprightness is the sceptre of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." And, "You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're not in the dark about God. Why? Well, because God spoke. Someone doesn't speak to you, you don't know much about them. You can't get to know them. It's only when they speak to you that you ever get to know a person. Some of you I've never met. I'm sorry. After our meeting today, there are refreshments being served. Come up and speak to me, will you? Because as you speak to me, I will get to know you. You've got an advantage already because I've been speaking, even though I haven't been speaking about me, one of my favourite subjects, of course, but I haven't been speaking about me. You don't know as much about me as you could if we just gathered together to talk about me. But can I suggest that if we ever reach the stage where the meeting is gathered together to talk about me, that you don't come? We gather together to talk about Jesus. We come together to talk about God. And it's because he has spoken and we can read what he has said that we can know him. God spoke. How? By the prophets. That's what verse 1 of our reading that we just had says, isn't it? He spoke by the prophets, but notice how he spoke by the prophets. Bit by bit, time by time, it was all piecemeal. It was like getting the jigsaw puzzle pieces out. Bit by bit, you take them out, you turn them over. You ever notice that they're nearly always turned the wrong way down, and you've got to turn each one of them over to see where they are, and you can see there's an edge bit, and that's another edge bit, but whether it's on the right-hand edge or the left-hand edge, well, I've got to do a little bit more yet. And that's how the prophet spoke. Bit by bit, piece by piece, God spoke through the prophets, giving us little bits of information over a 2,000-year period that we call the Old Testament. But then he spoke by his Son. And in that speech, we met God fully and completely, because the Word of God was God and became flesh. And so look what is said about the Son. Notice that the Son is the heir, verse 2, of all things, through whom also he created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God. You know the heat from the heater? It's the radiance. He radiates out from the radiator. He is the very thing. He is God himself. and the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of God's nature. You see me, you have seen the Father, said Jesus to Philip. You know God when you meet this man, for this is the man who upholds the whole universe by his word of power. So if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If God speaks to you by his Son, he speaks to you fully. And notice secondly what the Son has done in verse 3, at the end of verse 3, after having made purification for sin. For he came into the world not only to make his Father known to us, but even more importantly, to fix us up and make us pure, to be able to meet his Father. For the problem in our knowledge of God is not so much God, the problem is us and our unacceptability to God. But he came into the world to purify us by his sacrifice on the cross and resurrection. And so notice thirdly where the Son is now. At the end of verse 3, he sat down, having made purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. And then the rest of the chapter quarries the bits and pieces from the prophets of old that show that the Son of God is going to be much, much greater than even the angels. Therefore, there is nobody to be compared with Jesus. He is above all the heavenly hosts. He is greater than all the prophets. And that's why it is such an obscene blasphemy to suggest that God needed to send Joseph Smith or Muhammad or Mr. Moon or any other prophet, for no prophet can reveal God to us as fully, completely, comprehensively, totally as the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word was God and became flesh. And no one can make us ready to meet God other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to purify the people for God and for himself. And nobody is above the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is superior to all the heavenly beings sitting at the right hand of God in all power and authority and majesty. And it's his birth that we're celebrating. Little wonder that you can't have Christmas without singing. It's just such great news. So we'll sing a very ancient one this time from Prudentius, who wrote in the 4th and 5th century AD. So we're singing something that's been sung for 1,500 years or so by Christians, called God of God the Uncreated. Not very well known today, but again, I'm sure Ross will find the music that will enable us to consider what this man 1,500 years ago was thinking about Jesus. God of God, the Uncreated. Let's stand and sing it together. Please be seated. Ross, can you come and explain now to us? The choir is about to sing an unusual carol for us. Tomorrow shall be our dancing day. And just got to get your mind set in the right context to understand what it's about. So give us a context. Give us a way of understanding it. Hello, Ross.
Hi.
You enjoying?
Yes, a bit good. A bit hot. Good morning. The most famous verse in the Bible, as I'm sure you all know, is John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." And the carol which the choir are going to sing is an old, I think it's Cornish, which is in the southwesterly part of England. Sorry, it's English again. Sorry about that. It's a poem, and the poet imagines himself to be Jesus speaking before the creation of the world, to the world, saying, "Tomorrow shall be my dancing day. I would my true love did so chance to see the legend of my play, to call my true love to my dance." So he's asking us to respond to what he's going to do by saying, "Sing." So he's talking to us, "Sing, O my love," because we are the loved, we are the beloved, because God so loved the world. "Sing, O my love, this have I done for my true love." So he's saying, "I have become man for us, for you, because I love you. Therefore, sing to me." Then the second verse goes on.
I got the drift.
You got the drift.
I got the drift.
That just talks about the incarnation.
Good. Seeing you at all. I think Mark's going to bring us now some notices. Thank you. And in a few moments we'll be taking a collection. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Philip. And welcome again to St Andrew's Cathedral today. It's a very special celebration of Christmas, isn't it? Especially for those of us who are regular partners and members of our cathedral congregations. If you're visiting us today, then a special warm welcome to you, and we do hope that you enjoy the music and the teaching, and we do hope that you'll stay around for our refreshments in a little while. But in our seats this morning, you will have, the regulars will know this, but if you're visiting, you may have found these black folders with cards and pencils. And I might ask the people who are sitting on the edge of the pews where these folders are kept, if you could just pass those along at this point in our service. And if you could take a card out and a pencil. And these cards are our communication cards here at the cathedral. With this number of people gathered together on a typical Sunday morning, it's very important for us to keep relationships going, and to do that we need to communicate with each other, and these cards are an opportunity for you to communicate with us about matters of need, matters of prayer for the ministry staff of the cathedral to pray through, and anything else that you might like to seek assistance with or like to let the ministry staff know about. I also would like to draw to your attention this morning that our refreshments will be served behind the choir stalls here, and you'll also notice, as you would have over the last month or so, our cathedral bookshop has a cathedral book stall where, very strategically located, where the refreshments are being served. So there are still Christmas presents to be bought, I'm sure, and the cathedral book stall has some great Christmas gift ideas for both children and adults, so please avail yourself of that opportunity. At our exit points this morning, please help yourself to one of our audio CDs, a special gift particularly for our visitors, which outlines our Christian message. We're producing a special Christmas audio CD for our Christmas services, but the one that is available today at our exit points is our regular audio CD, which outlines our Christian message that we preach here at the cathedral. Regular members will also know that we have a car park located very close to the cathedral building, immediately to the west of the building, the St Andrew's car park, and the arrows on the map that's being shown on the screen at the moment will indicate to you how to get to that car park should you wish to join us next week, and we certainly hope that you will. Car park tickets or vouchers for free parking are available at our doors, so please once again avail yourself of that opportunity this morning. Well, it's hard to believe, but Christmas weekend is almost upon us. You might remember when I gave the announcements a couple of months ago, I reminded you that the Christmas tree is up in the Queen Victoria building. Well, that was 2 months ago. Now we have a week to go to the Christmas weekend. And this Friday, Colin Buchanan, a great Christian musician and Christian communicator to children, will be performing here in the cathedral. And tickets are still available for the 1 p.m. afternoon session. So please contact our cathedral office if you'd like to come along to that. The morning session has been booked out. Tickets are $12 and information is available at the cathedral general number and information at the doors, of course. But I'd like to speak to you specifically this morning about the Christmas services coming up on the 24th and the 25th of December. Next Sunday, there'll be six services happening here at the cathedral, two in the morning and four in the afternoon and the evening. And these will be followed, of course, on Christmas Day with two services on Christmas morning. Now, there are three things I'd like to say to you about this wonderful opportunity that we have next weekend, friends. We need to do three things, and they all start with P. Okay? Three things, and they all start with P. We certainly need to be praying as Christian family. We need to be praying for all those who will be coming to our services next weekend, that they will hear the gospel and respond with faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be praying for our preachers and teachers as they bring that message, and for all those who are directly involved in the services. And of course, we need to pray for ourselves. And that brings me to my second point. Not only should we pray, but we need to plan. If we fail to plan, we plan to fail, as the old adage goes. And we've made it very easy for you to plan Christmas this year at the cathedral. On the back of the green outline this morning, you'll find the times for all the services on the 24th and 25th. Please plan to come along to more than one service. Obviously, you would come to one service during the Christmas weekend, but it's very important that our visitors make contact with the regular members and partners of our cathedral congregations. So if you typically come to one Christmas service, plan this year to come to two. If you typically go to two Christmas services this year, plan to go to three. Plan to go to one more service than you would normally do on a Christmas weekend so that you can be actively involved this Christmas in welcoming visitors and those coming through our cathedral doors and greet them with the message of the gospel. Visitors need to meet Christians and Christians need to greet those who are visiting at the cathedral this Christmas. So prayer, planning, and three, promoting. We need to promote our Christmas services. And how many of you have sent all your Christmas cards? Raise your hand if you're so organised you've sent all your Christmas cards, okay? About 5% of us, right? 95% of us still have Christmas cards to send. And at the doors this morning, you'll find hundreds or thousands of these green pamphlets advertising Cathedral Christmas. Put one of these pamphlets in every Christmas card you send out this week so that people will know that you're keen about them coming to join us in our Christmas celebration over the Christmas weekend. Plenty of those pamphlets are available at the doors, and if they all go, then please see a member of staff and we'll get one to you. In a few moments, our wardens are going to wait upon us for our offertory for the support of gospel ministry in and through this cathedral. During that time, we'll be listening again to some music. And please be conscious of the fact that generosity amongst God's family is very important at this time of the year. There are a lot of costs associated with our Christmas ministries, and so please give generously this weekend and next weekend for the costs associated with Christmas 2006 at the cathedral.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your generosity and that you put generosity into the hearts of your people. We pray that this generosity might be used, Father, to bring many more to the saving knowledge of your Son, whose birth we celebrate at this time of year. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before our prayer time, we'll sing another lovely old carol with a Gaelic melody from Mary MacDougall MacDonald. She was born just at the time that Sydney started, a year later, 1789. Lived on the Isle of Man and Isle of Mull, and was the daughter of a Baptist cleric, and wrote many poems and many choruses and hymns in Gaelic, which is why we don't sing them very often these days. You'll be relieved to know this is translated. It's a wonderful one for just picking up the great contrast that the outcast and stranger is Lord of all, who inherits all our demerits, the gentle, lowly human life of the one who is the glorious, victorious, heavenly Redeemer. Let's stand and sing this together.
his own.
Please be seated. And if Ken and Caroline can come up, who are going to lead us in prayer. And I thought just for a change we'd get you to tell us what you think we should be praying for at Christmas time. So who would like to suggest something that we'll get Ken and Caroline to lead us in prayer about? Christmas time, what would we be praying? What should we be praying? Yes. Peace. Thank you. The homeless, yes. A dreadful murder out here, or killing out here, just a week or so ago of a homeless man. And we need to pray for them. Rain, we are in desperate need of rain. Rain. They're working out which one's going to pray what. For families, we really need for families, and for the other side of it, for the many people who don't have families at Christmas time. There's a group in particular. Yes? We have other suggestions? Repentance for the nation. Yes? Part of the drought one can be repentance for the nation, but have it as a separate one or I'll confuse you. Any others that we need to be? For the firefighters, yes, dreadful thing about those New Zealanders, isn't it, that came to help us, but Victoria still ringed with fire.
The youth
that they could come to know the Lord Jesus, because the youth are very depressed in many parts of Australia. Last one.
The soul of the lost.
The soul of the lost at Christmas time, that they might know the Lord Jesus who came for them. Lots of things to pray for at Christmas time, aren't they? You two okay? Good, and I'll finish with the Lord's Prayer,
yep.
Leaving us all.
Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we do pray for this world in all the strife and the war. Lord, we pray that you might bring peace. Lord, we pray that you would restrain evil, that you would give great wisdom to leaders at all levels of government. And Father, most of all, we pray that people would come to know peace with you through the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, for our nation, we pray, Lord, that you would send rain in the face of this drought. Father, please have mercy on our nation and send rain. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, also for our nation, we pray that people may come to repentance and faith, particularly at this Christmas time. The message may go out that people would come to you and trust in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, for the youth of our nation, also for them, Lord, we pray that people might share the message of faith in Jesus with them, that they may know peace with you and be at peace with others. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer, speak to you, and that you will listen. Lord God, we pray for our friends who have made their home the streets of the city. Comfort them and continue to provide for them. Help them to withstand the many terrors that plague them, be that alcohol or drugs or sleeplessness or predators or poverty or loneliness. And Father, this Christmas, we ask that you would help them see the light and hope that we also get to see in the life of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we pray in thanks for the families that we have. We recognise what a blessing it is to have families, but at times what a curse that may be. And Father, we pray for those who are without this Christmas and ask that you would comfort all so that we would know that we are part of your larger family, a family of those who call Jesus their Lord. And Father, as we celebrate Christmas, we pray that as uncovered tensions might be revealed this Christmas, that peace would rule and that Christmas would be something that people can enjoy remembering you rather than remembering the divisions that might be in family. Father, we thank you for the gift of children and ask that you would continue to raise up godly children and parents who would be capable of teaching them your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the firefighters that we have fighting fires at the moment. Ask that you would give them great skill, give them the knowledge to know how to read the fires so that they might be able to put them out before too much damage. Father, keep them safe. Help those who have lost houses, those who have lost property, and even those who have lost loved ones in this, that you would support them and comfort them this Christmas. Father, we thank you that there are people like the fire brigade and the police and the ambulance, our hospital staff, our transport workers, our retailers who will work while we rest and celebrate Christmas. And we ask that you would help them also remember what it is that Christmas is about, so that it doesn't become a burden for them, and that in them we might remember the true meaning of Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you that you have a heart for those who are lost. We pray that you don't want to see anyone perish. And we ask that you would save us all as we come to recognise in our heart and our soul what it is that you have done by sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross, so that we might be forgiven and that we might have life eternal. And so, Father, we pray that this Christmas would be one when many of us would turn our souls to you and have eternity with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us join together in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The choir's going to sing one more time, this time from Handel, and then we will conclude with another medley of very well-known carols. But let's hear the choir sing this wonderful passage from Isaiah's prophecy. Stand. next week's going to be better. Let's pray. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all and our families this day and this Christmas time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the talks on philipjensen.com. Please check our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material on philipjensen.com.